Today's shir is Masechta Yomah, Daf Mem Tes, and we will begin 12 lines from the top of the Yomah, the second word, Boy Rav Papa. From Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis until now, we have had a number of questions posed by Rav Papa concerning Chafina, scooping the Ketores by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. This is Rav Papa's final inquiry. Boy Rav Papa. Rav Papa had the following question. What is the halacha if a fellow Kohen would scoop up the Ketores and put it into the cupped hands of the Kohen Gadol? In other words, the Kohen Gadol would not be doing the actual Maisa Chafin itself. He would not be taking it from the Machtas that had the Ketores on it, but another Kohen would put it into his hands. Is that acceptable or not? What is the question? So the Gemara explains, and this is based on the Pasuk in Vayikra Tez Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, and the Pasuk states, V'lokach meloi hamachto gachle eish me'al mizbeach, me'lifnei Hashem, that the Kohen Gadol is to take the machto full of the coals from the mizbeach hachitzon, u'molei chofnav k'tora samem daka, and also he should take his full hands, the palms full of Torahs, and Vehevi Mibesa Parashas, he should bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now, as Rashi explains, the question is, what does the Velokach of the Pasuk go on? It certainly goes on Meloi Hamachta Gachle Yesh, but the question is, does it also go on the Melo Chofnav of the Torah Samim Daka? Let us see the Gemara inside. Meloi chofnav being, and is it required merely to have meloi chofnav? In other words, the meloi chofnav, as Rashi explains, will be an independent phrase. It will not have anything to do with the beginning of the pasuk of Velokach, and therefore it's meloi chofnav vehevi. All that's required is that he brings in the meloi chofnav. He doesn't have to take the meloi chofnav. Somebody else could take it and put it in to his palms. Then voyiko. Then I have fulfilled the requirement. Oy dilmor, perhaps the lokach does go not only on the meloi machta gachleish, it also goes on meloi choftav. The lokach vehevi binan. I need that when he brings in the meloi choftav, it should be that ktoris which he has taken originally into his meloi chofnav, not that somebody else puts it into his meloi chofnav. And if so, in this case where somebody else put it into his meloi chofnav, v'aleka, then he would not be fulfilling the requirement. That is the shaila, and the Gemara ends off with the word teku, tishbi, yatarz, kushas, v'yuboyis, d'aliyah, navi will answer this question. Tosfos here in the second Tosfos on the Yomid, Boy Rapapa, asks a very fundamental question. Let's look at the Tosfos inside. Temo li, hoi boile li'il kvar ki hai gavna, gabi beinam benayim, amem zayin amed beiz. Tosfos says, we had the identical question. It was nogeya, another possibility, but the issue is the exact same as our Gemara. There we had the question, what about the Ketores that gets stuck in between the fingers of the Kohen Gadol? Does that have a halacha of the Ketores that has to be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and put on the Gecholim there, or does it not have to be brought in? What was the question there? The Gemara said it was the same Shaila as over here. Do we say that the Velokach goes on the Meloi Chofnav? And that would mean that it would not be included, because Velokach means, as Rashi explains over there, Rashi's Lashon is, he had kavana to take the ketores into his palms, but that ketores that went between his fingers, he didn't have kavana for that. So that would not be included in velokach, which is like premeditated that he wants to take that ketores. Bein benayim, he does not want to, and therefore that would not be included. However, if we just use the phrase meloi chofnav without the velokach does not go on the meloi chofnav, velokach goes only on the meloi hamachta. So then, in fact, the meloi chofnav would include the bein menayim, and he would have to bring it as part of the ketores lefnai lefnim. So Tosa's question is, what's Rav Papa asking here? We've had the identical question before on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Yesh Lomer Tosa's answers, Be'intim Tzoloi Mekamar. What Rav Papa is trying to say here is, If you will answer the first question, I'll still have a second question. Why? If you'll say by Bena Benayim that it's not included as part of the Ketores. Why? It's not included in Velakach Vehevi because it doesn't come from the Koach Gavra. What I think Tosus means is that Rashi that we quoted before, Shema'elov Nichlis Labena Benayim Vahu Loi Nischavin, Avada, he did an action, but it was not a premeditated action. And that's why Tosus calls it, it's not Mikoach Gavra. He's not planning to do it. So even if you'll say in the Shiloh Mem Zayin on the base of Bein Abinayim that is not included in Velakach, I would still have a separate question here. Hachamai, what's the din here? Mi Amrin and Afagav the Lav Iu Chafan Mikol Makim Kivin Mikoach Gavra Kasi Shaper Dami Veshaper Karinibi Velakach Haloikeach Mishehu VeYosim Mechafnu Shel Koyin Gadol VeHaru Na'ila Who. In other words, even if I say over there, you're not fulfilling Velakach in Mem Zayin Beis, because over there, the Kohen Gadol didn't have any Kavana to bring it in. So it's not Velakach. But here, even if he didn't bring it in, but even if he didn't take it, but somebody else took it, and that person had premeditation. He did have Kavana to take it. So Memelim, who says the Velakach means the Kohen Gadol has to be Velakach? It could be somebody else's Velakach, a different Kohen is Velakach. And then all the Kohen Gadol would have to do is take that Maloi Chofnav into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Or Dilma, the other side of the Shal is, no, Velakach Vehevi Be'inon Shalakeach Yavi. That Velakach doesn't mean anybody could take it. It means specifically this same Kohen Gadol who's bringing it in, he has to be the one to take it. So Tosfos is saying that the two questions are really not identical, but rather this question on Mem Tes is based on Mem Zayin and Mebeis. If you'll answer Mem Zayin and Mebeis that there is a Chsorin in Velakach, it could be that here on Mem Tes, it's not a Chsorin in Velakach, because I do have someone. It's not the Kohen Gadol, I have someone else who has a kavana to bring it in, and perhaps that suffices, or maybe not. Maybe Velakach means it has to mamish be the same Kohen Gadol. Let us continue the Gemara. Boy, Rabbi Shuben Levi. Rabbi Shuben Levi had another question. Now we have ended all Rav Papa's questions concerning the Chafina, and now comes a new question of Rabbi Shuben Levi. What happens if Chafin umeis? The Kohen Gadol did the Chafina, and he put it then in the cuff, as we've learned before, and he's going to take the cuff in his left hand and the macht of the gecholim in his right hand and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But at the point after he put it into the cuff, umeis, the Kohen Gadol died. Mao sheyichnes achor b'chnifasei. Can another Kohen, the Kohen who is his substitute, can he take that very chafina and bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or is it necessary that he should make a new chafina? That is the question of the Gemara. Amar Rab Chanina. So Rab Chanina, when he heard this question of Rabbi Shuben Levi, he said, as Rashi explains, he said to his Talmidim, Boy Urei Shailas HaRishonim. Look at the question that the Rishonim, the older generation, seemingly he's speaking about Rabbi Shuben ben Levi, look at that older generation, look at their question, and we, says Rashi, we ourselves had that question, we're like the Achronim, we're coming after Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and look at us, we were able to be mechaven to that identical question of the Rishonim. So the Gemara says, we're not answering yet the Shiloh. The Gemara is going into a tangent here, and the Gemara says, Lameimer de Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kashish. According to what you're saying, it comes out that Rabbi Chanina was saying, look, we were asking the same Shiloh as the earlier generation. Does that mean that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in fact, was older? Kashish means older than Rabbi Chanina. We see just the opposite. V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Li hitter Rabbi Chanina lishtoi shechlayim b'shabbos. I once had a Shiloh, and I went to Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina permitted me to drink shechlayim, Rashi says, is karshun, which is cress, and it was the juice made from the cress, which is used in salads, and he was permitted, he was a chola, and he was permitted to drink it on Shabbos. So the Gemara, and the Gemara understands that if Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went to Rabbi Chanina to ask a Shaila, so who was older? Rabbi Chanina was older. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was being Shaleitza with, he was asking for a Psak Halacha by the older Rabbi Chanina. So how could Rabbi Chanina have said to his Talmidim, we were Mechavan to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Just the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi seems to be saying that Rabbi Chanina is the older one. Now the Gemara again goes into another tangent in this Shaila. What was the Shaila that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi posed to Rabbi Chanina about Shechlayim? Lishtais. If all it is to drink, pshita. Of course you're allowed to drink it. This nun, we learned in a Mishnah. Kol ha'oichlan oichl adam refuah. All foods a person can eat for refuah. The chol hamashkin shoyse, as the Bach says, adam refuah, and all drinks a person can drink on Shabbos for refuah. This is what's known as machal briyim. As even if you're a chola and you are eating it or drinking it because it's a remedy for you, it does not go into the iser of refuah on Shabbos, which is also because of chashash that a person will come to shchika samamonim, that he will grind herbs on Shabbos, and there's an isser of tochen, one of the lamates melachos of tochen, and the rabbanan normally were gozer on refuos that a person shouldn't take because of the chashash that he'll actually grind up the herbs on Shabbos. But if it's a meichel briyim, if it's a food or a drink that healthy people also drink, let's say a person takes a tea. For he has a sore throat and he takes a tea. But a healthy person will also drink the tea. So even though for me it's working as a refuah, it does not go into the iser. So that's the Gemara's question here. What was the big heter that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi received from Rabbi Chanina, that he could drink shechlayim? We learned halacha that Michael Briam, there's no problem of refuah on Shabbos. Ella, the Gemara answers, Lishchaik v'lishtai shechlayim b'shabbos. The heter was not to drink the juice from the cress, but rather the heter was actually to grind up the cress and to make the juice from it. Now the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Hechi dami. What's the case? Idik a sakanta, if there was a sakana, it was a sakanas nefashas, so mishra shori, then he didn't have to go to get a heter from Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi knows the halacha that where there's a pekuach nefesh ayil involved, of course you're allowed to grind it up and do any of the lamates melachos on Shabbos in for the refuah of the person. So what was the question? V'idolek a sakanta, and if in fact it was not a case of a chol sheyesh per sakana, so in fact the halacha is meiser usher. It is usher. How could Rabbi Chanina have paskened for him that it is mutter? And for the Gemara, lo ilum deka sakanta. Really, he was speaking about a case where there was a sakana. And this was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's question to Rabbi Chanina. Mi masya, it was a scientific question. It was a refuah question. Does cress heal? Dinechel alai shabbata, that therefore I should be permitted to grind up the cress to make the juice from it and will be mechal Shabbos because it's an effective medicine. Or loy masya, or it doesn't heal. V'loy nechel alai shabbata, and then we would not be mechal Shabbos. I just want to point out, I think, lefi anis daiti, that this shaila must have been asked when it wasn't negei lemaisa. Because if it wasn't mamish negei lemaisa, then the halacha is that if you have any suffix, you don't go to ask a shaila by a rav. If there's even a chance that this could be medicinally helpful for the cholish esh b'sakana, you don't waste time with running to ask a rav a shaila. You have to be mechal Shabbos even a suffix. So this was speaking where it was not negei lemaisa, and he went to ask him, what do I do in a case where I need the cress? Is it medicinally effective for which I would be mechal Shabbos or not? So now the Gemara says, if it was not a shaila in halacha, if it was a medicinal shaila, so maishna Rav Chanina, so what is he going to ask Rav Chanina? He should go to a doctor, he should go to a scientist. And for the Gemara, Mishum de Bakir Refuasu, because Rav Chanina was very, very well versed in Yone Refua, in the scientific aspects of refuas, the Amar Rav Chanina, for we find Rav Chanina saying, "Me'olam loy shalani adam amakas preido levona v'chaya." No one ever asked me a refua question concerning the bite of a white mule, and he lived after asking me the question. In other words, that he would soon pass away from the bite of the white mule. So we see that Rav Chanina was asked medicinal questions. The Gemara says, "V'hok kochazin and dechaya." We see that people are bitten by white mules and they lived. And the Gemara answers, don't read it b'loshen zocher dechaye, but rather ema v'chayas. What Rav Chanina was saying, as Rashi says, hamaka. I never found someone who was bitten by a white mule and the maka in feminine loshen akeva that it got fully cured. In other words, he always had some scars, some reminder that it didn't get fully healed. The Gemara asks a question, v'hoka chazina demitzi, we find that it does get healed. The Gemara answers, a white mule's bite, the person will live, the maka will get healed. What Rav Chanina was referring to was besumkan, a red donkey, besumke inu, v'chiyurin resh karayu. What was the white? The white was the tips of its feet. That was white. Such a chamor, who's red, with having tips of his feet white, I never saw someone where that maka was totally healed. Kamrin, and that's what we were referring to. So now that we've gone through this entire thing, we find that Rav Chanina was a doctor, was a proficient in medicinal things. So now the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Shema Minah, the Rav Chanina Kashish. Let's go back to where we started from. We had said in the name of Rav Chanina, referring to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he told his Talmidim that look at the Shail of the Rishonim of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that we, the Achroinim, we're Mechavan to the same Shail as the Rishonim, and now from this whole sugya we see just the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi consulted with Rav Chanina, so it would seem that Rav Chanina was the older one. So the Ritva asked, wait a second, Bishloime, if, as we thought in the beginning, Rabbi Chanina was paskening a shaila, then it makes sense that the younger one would go to the older paisik to find out the psak. But if it, as the Gemara concludes, it was only a medicinal question, so who says that Rabbi Chanina was older? What's the Gemara's proof? Maybe the older Rav went to the younger doctor to find out medicinal information that he didn't know. So what's the Gemara's proof? So the Ritva answers that, so Ba'emes, Rashi gives an answer to this question before the Ritva. Rashi says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if he was older than Rabbi Chanina, he wouldn't have called him Rab Chanina, he would have called him Chanina. The young Chanina told me that this is an effective, he was matter for me to eat cress, to drink the juice of cress on Shabbos. It is a medicinal effective liquid. So he wouldn't have called him Rebbe Chanina. Since he called him Rebbe Chanina, it seems that he was older. The Ritva adds that since the way he said it, it's like you say, I went once, Rav Moshe was, Feinstein's Zitzal was mutter this for me. He said it, but they're covered, and even though it was only a medicinal question, he said it as a psak, hitterly. He was mutter to me. And li hitter, to me, you know, the great poisik, Rav Chanina was mutter this to me as a psak. So from all of these words, it's indicated that Rav Chanina was the older one, even if it was only a scientific medicinal question, and that's the Gemara's Shaila. How could we start off the sugya by saying that Rav Chanina said concerning Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that he was the older one, when from here we see the opposite? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi consulted Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina was the older one. Ella de Gemara says, you're right. Rav Chanina was the older one. Hachi kamar. She'elosan kishela shel rishonim. It must be, the pshat is, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the younger one. And his question was like my question. I had the same question as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'm the older one. I'm the one who's considered Rishonim. And his question was like mine. Not my question was like his, the opposite. The Gemara is still not satisfied. Umi, Amar Rabbi Chanina Hachi, it comes out according to our whole sugya, that both Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and Rabbi Chanina had this question. And let's go back to the original question. We've gotten sidetracked on various tangents here. The original question was that what? If the Kohen Gadol did the chafina, and he put the Torah into the kaf, and then he died, can the next Kohen who takes over from him take that kaf with the Torah and bring it in, or does he have to make a new chafina. That was the shaila. So the Gemara says it cannot be that Rabbi Chanina had such a shaila. Rabbi Shulam ben Levi could have such a shaila, but not Rabbi Chanina. I'll prove to you Rabbi Chanina had no shaila. Why? Me, Amar Rabbi Chanina Achiv, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina himself says we're going to see this on Amid Beis. Bepar v'loy bedami shapar, that the din is that if, for example, let's say the Kohen Gadol shechted the par for Yom Kippurim and then he died, so there's a machlokus on Amid Beis whether the dam hapar can be brought in by the next Kohen Gadol, the substitute Kohen Gadol. Does he have to shech the par again, or could he bring in the dam of the par that the first Kohen Gadol shechted before he died? Rab Chanina's position is that he must shech a new par. Bipar v'loy b'dami shapar. He cannot enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim to sprinkle the blood there using the dam of a par that the first Kohen Gadol shechted. So that's one halacha the Rabbi Chanina said. A second halacha Rabbi Chanina said, v'amar Rabbi Chanina, k'toyre shechofna kodem shechita sapar, lo yosef lo klom. If I did, this is speaking about even the first Kohen Gadol. If the first Kohen Gadol mixed up the Seder HaAvod on Yom Kippur, and he did the Maisa Chafina before the shechita sapar, lo yosef lo klom, that Maisa Chafina is meaningless, because you have to follow the Seder. The Seder is first the shechita sapar, and then the Maisa Chafina. So Memela, it'll come out like this. How could Rabbi Chanina have had a shaila of what? If the second Kohen Gadol could use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Chanina told us two premises. Premise number one, that the par v'loy b'dami shapar. The second Kohen Gadol can't use the dam of the first Kohen Gadol. He has to shecht a new par. So what's your question? Can he use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol? Of course not. There's no question according to Rabbi Chanina. Why? As Rabbi Nachmanal says, even the first Kohen Gadol, if he mixed it up and he put the chafina before the par, it would be meaningless, as we just learned. So the second Kohen Gadol, who has to make a new shechit of a par, how could he use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol? It's the first Kohen Gadol's chafina is coming before his shechit of the par. It's the wrong order. So Rabbi Chanina couldn't have had such a question. The Gemara says, you're right. Hachi kamar, this is what Rabbi Chanina meant to say. Midi kamaboyulei ha michlal de kasav bepar vafilu bedami shapar. Since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had this shaila of what? Whether the second Kohen Gadol has to make a new Maisa Chafina, it must be that he is of the opinion of the school of thought of those who argue on Amid Beis against Rabbi Chanina. He holds Bipar V'afilu Bidami Shapar. He disagrees with Chanina. Rabbi Chanina holds Bipar V'loy Bidami Shapar. He holds Bipar V'afilu Bidami Shapar. So since he, now going on that assumption that the second Kohen Gadol does not have to shecht a new par, he can use the dam of par of the first Kohen Gadol. According to that line of thought, he had a very good question. Can he also use the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol, or does he have to make a new Kohen Gadol? He has no problem with the Seder Avoda, because he's in fact going to use the dam of the first Kohen Gadol, who made a shechita, and then he made a chafina. Question is, can I use that chafina or not? So that's what he's saying. Lamai the Svirule, according to what he holds, not like me, and he holds Bipar Vafilu Bidami Shapar, Sheiltai Kishilas Rishainim. Then his Shaila is like the Shaila that those who argue against me hold. So it comes out, we've had a number of retractions in what Rabbi Chanina meant. Originally we thought Rabbi Chanina is saying, I had a shaila like the Rishonim Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Then we changed it that no, Rabbi Shua ben Levi had a shaila like Rabbi Chanina. And the maskana of the Gemara is Rabbi Shua ben Levi had a shaila like those who argue against Rabbi Chanina and who hold Bipar Vafilu Bidami Shapar. The question is, can you use the same chafina of the first Kohen Gadol, or do you have to make a new Maisa chafina? The Gemara asks, after this whole introduction, my Havi Allah, what's Takada did? And the Meforshim explain, as the Rambam Paskins, because we Paskin Bipar Vafilu Bidami Shapar. We don't Paskin like Rabbi Chanina. According to Rabbi Chanina, it's a moot question. Of course you cannot use the first Kohen Gadol's Chafina, because it won't be the Seder Avoda. You're going to have to Shecht. If you're going to have to Shecht, how could you use the first Chafina of the Kohen Gadol? But since as the Rambam Paskins, the Halacha is not like a Chanina, and it's Bepar V'afilu B'dami Shopar, so then I don't have to make a new Shechita. If I don't have to make a new Shechita, the question is relevant, can I use the Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol or not? Rapapa says, you know what this Shiloh will be tally in? Another Shiloh. What's the other Shiloh? We're used to the following Seder, which is really a big Shiloh, as we're going to see here in the Gemara. We're used to the Seder that they took out from the Beis Aftinus, they took out the Ketoiris, and then the Kohen Gadol made a Maisa Chafina of the double scoop of his cupped palms, right? Then he put it into the cuff. He carried the right hand, with the right hand, the machtas of Gecholim. With the left hand, he now took the kaf into, with the ktoiris into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, a very difficult avoda, he would empty out the ladle, the kaf of the ktoiris, into his palmed hands again. So it comes, and then he would put the ktoiris from his palmed hands onto the Machta of the Gecholim, which was lying on the floor, or in the second base of Migdash, the Evan HaShasiyah. But this is not so pashut, because according to the way we understand it, there were two times Chafina. Once in the beginning, and once when he was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not everybody agrees to that. Let's see the Gemara. Amar Papa, if he makes a Chafina twice, the second Kohen Gadol could use the first Kohen Gadol's Chafina. Because he at least one time did Chafina. He's doing it at least one time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But he ain't Chayfin v'chayzer v'chayfin t'boilach. You know when you'll have a good Shaila? If you go like those Shittas who hold that no, that there was only one Chafina. That was before he put it in the Kaf. He made a Chafina. Then he put it in the Kaf. And according to that Mandi Omar, he didn't go through that difficult process of flipping the ladle into his cupped palms and then putting it with his palms onto the machta with the gecholim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No, he emptied it out from the ladle directly onto the machta. So if there then it comes out there was only one chafina, and who did that one chafina? The first Kohen Gadol. Then you'll have a question: is the second Kohen Gadol the substitute? Is he yotze with the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol? But if I hold chayfin v'chayzer v'chayfin, then there's no shaila. Vadi could be yotze with the first one because he's going to be doing a second one anyway in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the way Rav Papa understands the way that we should explain the answer to this question. Amalei Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua, we're up to the first wide line at the end. Rav Yehuna B'Reid Rav Yeshua says, Rav Papa, Adarabba, I say, Punk Fakert. I chayfin v'chayz v'chayfin, lo yikonis acher b'chfi nasoi. If you hold that you do it twice, then the second one should not go instead of the first one. He should start the whole process over from the beginning. Why? Because he efshir shalai yechzir shalai yoyser. Because we know that what's the shear for chafina? The exact measurements of your hands. Each person has a different hand. I don't have the exact hand as the first kohen gadol. So memela, the second kohen gadol is either going to have too much on his palms if his palms are small, or he's going to have too little if his palms are larger than the first kohen gadol's. So memela, then it does not make sense that I should be yoyser with the first kohen gadol's chafina. But if I hold the ein chayfin chayzer v'chayfin, but if there's only one chafina, so I don't have to do a second chafina to boyalach, then you would have a good shaila. Where do we have this question of chayfin v'chayzer v'chayfin? The boyalu, we had a shaila. Chayfin chayzer v'chayfin, do you make two chafinas or loy? And now the Gemara is going to try to answer this shaila of chayfin chayzer v'chayfin or not. Toshma. We had this before, Mem Zayinu Medalef, the same Gemara. We had in our Mishnah a phrase that after the Mishnah told us on Mem Zayinu Medalef that it would be totally the shear of the Chafina based on the realistic actual amount that he would bring into his hands. And then the Mishnah says, V'kach hoitzu midasa. That was the Midah. So we want to know what is that phrase adding. My love, the Gemara understands now, Kishem Shemidasa Mibachutz Kach Midasa Bifnim. That's what it means. The same like you measured it in outside when you first took it from the Lishkas Beis Aftinis, Kach Midas B'Fnim, then you have to do it again. That's what it means. Kach Lishkas Midas was the same measurement for the Chafina B'Fnim, and this would be a proof that what? That Chayfen, the Chayzer, the Chayfen. Zakti Mor Loi. Dilma, maybe it means that's what it means, that you don't have to necessarily take it with your palms, but you can make a measure. You can have a keli, and in that keli, as long as it holds in that keli exactly what you had in your palms, you're able to do it with the keli. That's what the meaning is. But it's not telling me that the pnim, you need it again, a maisa chafina. So it's no proof that chayzer v'chayzer v'chayfen. Inami, or a second teretz, what does it mean with the phrase ka chayzer midasa? It has nothing to do with doing it twice, but rather shalayechzer v'shalayeser. The Mishnah repeats, this is the measurement to tell you, you have to do it precisely, not more and not less. Toshma, as we turn to Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, Kate said, now this piece of Gemara is going to explain us the difficult Malach of Chafina, which we're going to learn was one of the difficult Malachas in the Beis HaMikdash. Kate said, how does he do Chafina? So the first thing is, as Rashi points out, which is not mentioned here in the Gemara, he puts down from his right hand, he puts down the machto, which has the gecholim, and in the bais rishon he would put it bein habadim of the aron. And when in the second bais hamikdash, the Rambam says when there was no aron, he would put it on the foundation stone called the Evan HaShesia. Now he has his right hand free, but the Ritva points out, even though he has his right hand free, he's not allowed to use it in any way to take the Ktores from the kaf and put it into his cupped hands. In other words, here is what makes this very difficult, and you need a lot of dexterity, that he's going to have to not use his right hand, have his hands cupped, and somehow or other get the ladle, which has the Ktores in it, and flip it into his cupped hands without any of it falling away. So here's how he did it. Oiches as a bezech. Now this word bezech is the same as the word kaf that we've had all along, and it means a ladle. He's oiches the bezech b'roish etzboisav. With his fingertips, he holds the cup of the ladle. The ladle has a handle and a cup. So with his fingertips, he holds the cup of the ladle. The Yesh Armin Bishinov, some say he held the cup of the Bezach with his teeth. And now we're going to have the Girsa here with the Aleph, which is on the side, the Gra. And the Meforshim say that this is the Rambam Sheet in Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim, Perik Dalet Halacha Ches. That what? That the next word is Uma'are, not Umala, according to this Girsa Sagra. Uma'ara, he pours begoidloi with his thumbs, and now we're going to put, as the Gra tells us, a parenthesis around the next seven words. We're going to skip the next seven words, and we're going to say, go on to Lotoich Chafnov. So in other words, according to the Gra, you read these two lines of the Gemara, Umare begoidloi Lotoich Chafnov. The Gra makes it easier in pshat and easier to physically do. What, according to the Gra, what is the pshat here? That he has the handle, at the end of the handle of the bezek is the cup of the ladle, and he holds the cup of the ladle with his teeth or with the tops of his fingertips, and with his thumbs, he scoops out, he has his hands cupped, and he scoops out with his thumbs the ketores into his cupped hands. That is the Gra and the Rambam. Rashi, however, has the words the way we have it in the Gemara, and let us see how Rashi is going to learn this Gemara. The oiches is abezek b'roish etzboisav, the same thing as before. The yeshar and b'shinav umale, not ma'are like the Gra, male begoidloi Ad shemagas lebein atzila yodav v'choizer umachziro l'toy chofnav. According to Rashi, it's harder in pshat and harder to physically do. What is the pshat? That he has his hands cupped. He holds the top of the cup of the ladle with his fingertips or with his teeth. And here's what he has to do. He, with his thumbs, he has to guide the handle of the ladle that it should go bein atzila yadav. He keeps his elbows as close as they can come together with his cupped hands. And he has to slowly, because if he's going to do it quickly, the ladle is going to spill with all the tyrus. So he has to do it very slowly. He has to guide the handle of the cuff, or the bezach, and so that the handle winds up under his elbow, and he's using the elbow to hold on top of it the entire cuff, and then when he has the cuff with the k'tiris in it, the cup of the cuff with the k'tiris in it, lined up with his opened palms, then he flips over, he uses his thumb to flip over the cup of the cuff, and the k'tiris falls out into his open hands. So this is the way Rashi learns it, and that's the gears to the way we have it parshed in the Gemara. And of course, this was a very difficult thing to do. And if there is a, although they don't have a picture of how the thumbs made the handle go under his elbows, but in the Sefer HaMo'ar HaMavur on page 49, picture 103, they have a nice picture of the final thing. Here you have the handle under the arm of the Kohen Gadol, and he has just flipped over the entire cuff with the Ketores in it onto his open palms. He could have used his right hand in some way to help him, but he could have used his right hand to put the handle under his elbow. He didn't have to, but the way that Allah was, he was not allowed to do it. Continues the Gemara. V'tzaivra kidei she'eh oshna shoya lavoi. And he then, there's a machlokas here, how did the Ketores go on the machtas full of the gecholim? Did it go in a pile, or was it all spread out? So the first one, the armor says, v'tzaivra. He did it in a pile. What's the purpose of a pile? Kidei she'eh oshna shoya lavoi. Because if it's in a pile, it takes much longer for the smoke to go all through the Kodesh Kedoshim. When the Kohen realized that the chisa non haktiris, when the cloud coming from the smoke of the Ketores went through the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Kohen Gadol had to leave. So this made it slower. And what's the purpose of it being slower? So there's a few pshatim. The Siach Yitzchak says, because since we see that the kapora of the Ketores came from the cloud cover, the chisa non haktiris, the longer it took for that to spread, the longer was the zman kapora for Klal Yisrael. And according to the Meiri, the gain of this was that it didn't come suddenly. If he would have spread it out thinly, then the smoke would have suddenly shot up and he could have choked from it, said the Meiri. So this way he had time till the smoke went through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Yesharim continues the Gemara, Mephazri spreads it out, Kedei she'eh oshnam meheres lavoi. Just the opposite, the smoke should come very quickly. Woe is the mile, according to this man, the armor of it coming quickly. So the Meiri says that he would not stay long in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he should not gaze at the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We wanted him to go in and out as quickly as possible. And the other Meforshim say, because as we find the Gemara further in Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, that he didn't make a long tefillah there. And the reason was because Klal Yisrael was nervous, is he going to die in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or not? So by the smoke spreading out quickly, he made a very short tefillah, and he exited very quickly that they should know that he survived the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So then we have this machlokes. Now concludes the Gemara. V'zui avayda kodesh shabbat mikdash. This was the chafina in the kodesh shabbat was the hardest avoda in the mikdash. The Gemara says zui. This is the one. V'zuloi. There's no others. V'yeka malika. What about malika when he has to go with the thumb and go through the mafrekes of the oif and make malika? That was very difficult. V'yeka kmitza. What about kmitza, as we learned in the Gemara before, memzan mebeis, of a machvas, a minchas machvas flat pan, or a marcheshes, where it was fried in a deep pan, and it became hard. It wasn't loose flour, but hard, and he had to make sure that any extra pieces, hard pieces that were sticking out from his fist had to be broken off, using his thumb and his pinky, and he had to make it exact, not more, not less. This was very difficult, especially with a hard substance. This was one of the difficult avoiders, but not the difficult avoiders. The Gemara concludes, Shmamina, Chayfin v'chayzer v'chayfin Shmamina. This whole sugya is proving one thing. As the Miri explains, that it's certainly that this is not speaking about the first chafina. The first chafina was a simple thing. He put his palms into the place where the ketores was, and he took it out. There's nothing difficult. This is not avoid akasha. The avoid akasha was later when the kaf was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he had it transported, as we described before, into his open cupped hands. That was a very difficult thing. Now, what made it difficult? If we look in the first Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskev Ikar Kmitza, on the last wide line, says Tosfos, Nirali, the Hanach Gimel de Kachashiv Hacha, Avodus Kashis, Heim Lekoyen Lasish, Yeshbem Tsar. There's pain. The Rambam learns it was dexterity. These are all things that are difficult to do physically. Tosus learns differently. Tosus learns there was pain involved. Malika limlek b'tzvareneinu b'tziporeinu lachtech ha-mafrekes. It's difficult to break through the mafrekes of the bird with his finger. V'chein kemitza d'minches ma'apa sheyesh le'tzar l'koyin limchayk b'goyd l'malal b'etzpektarim l'mato l'hashvish dover kasha. As we explained, he had with his thumb and his pinky, he had to make equal, it shouldn't stick out, a very hard thing. That was painful. V'chein b'chafina. One shot says he took the bezek in his teeth and he had a maneuver get the handle under his elbows with his teeth. That was very painful. He had to take from his cupped hands, his palms, he had to take the ketores and put it directly without any of it falling on the floor. So he had to get very close to the gachelas, to the machtas with the gachelas, and his hands could have got singed. So there was tsar involved. It's interesting that the Rambam does not list kemitza as one of the things that was difficult. What's the reason? Because the Rambam holds, like the shita that holds, that it was not three fingers and he had to make it equal, but rather it was a simple scoop of the hand of all five fingers. So according to the Rambam, it's not considered an avoda kasha. Continues the Gemara. Now that we've proven that since it was difficult, it must have been that there were two chafinas, the Gemara goes on to the shaila that we had on Amud Aleph about the shchit of the par. Iboilu, we had a question. What happens if the first Kohen Gadol shechted the par? And then he died. Can the second substitute Kohen Gadol enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim using the dam of the first Kohen Gadol? Or does he have to shecht a new par? Mi amrinu bepar v'afilu b'damishal par? As we had on Amud Aleph. Do I say that the word par goes not only on a live par, but will even include the dam of the par? Or do we say bepar v'loy b'damishal par? Par means that if you shechted a live par, you can enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you cannot enter just with the dam, using the dam of the par that your first Kohen Gadol has shechted. So we have a machloikis. And as we learned on Amud Aleph, here you have the sheet of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina, I'm a bepar v'loy b'damishal par. No, the second Kohen Gadol will have to shecht anew. V'resh lakish, I'm a bepar v'filu b'damishal par. And then we have another machloikis, the same. Rav Ami, Omar bepar v'loy b'damishal par. Rav Yitzchak, and on the side it says, Rav Yitzchak nafcha Omar bepar v'filu b'damishal par. Esve, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchak nafcha. So Rav Ami asked the question, Rav Yitzchak nafcha. You hold that a filu b'damishal par, you don't have to shecht a new par in this situation. What about the halacha by Korban Pesach? We learned the halacha. Nimninu moishchin yedeim imenu achi yishchad. The halacha is that the Korban Pesach is shechted on a group that has signed up to be part of this group, of this Korban Pesach, so the, and people change their minds, so you can become part of a group of a Korban Pesach, or you can exit from a group from the Korban Pesach, when, up to what time? Ad sheyishchat. You have to get there before the Shechita. Once it's shechted, you can't say, let me join up, or let me leave. No, then it's too late. The imisa, and if you hold that a par or a seh would be called a seh even after the shechita, but before the zrika. So the imisa sheyizrik meboilei. So then, why does it say you can change your mind or enter this group up till the shechita? Well, if a seh is called even after the shechita, so you should be able to leave or join up to the zrika's hadam and not up to the shechita. You should be able to join past the shechita. As the Bach is garis here, shiny hosom, ain't a chanami. Par is a filibidomishal par. But here's an exception. The chsiv, the pasuk says, and the lashon of the pasuk is, the im yimat habayis miyos, we say, if the house itself is not enough people to eat the whole korban pesach by themselves, then others can join this house. The michsas nefashis tachoysu al aseh. What word do we, is the key critical word here? Miyos miseh. That you are joining or leaving from the chiyus of the seh. And the Ritva has a girsa, mehaviyasa the seh, from the life of the seh. In others, before the shechita. So really, always par means a filawad bedamai shal par. But here's an exception, because we have the word hayos, which means the havaya, the essence, the life, before it has been shechted, and afterwards it's too late. Masav mar zutra ain poidin. We're not poid the petr chamor with a seh loy beegel, not with a calf because you need a seh. Loy bechayin, not with a undomesticated animal because you need an animal. You need a seh. Veloy beshchuta, and not with shechted. And here's the question is going to be from these words loy beshchuta. So because it says seh means a live seh. Veloy betreifa, not one that has a blemish in it that makes it a treifa. V'loy b'klayim, and not from, Rashi says, a goat and a sheep, even though they're both called seh, concerning Korban Pesach, but you have to have a child that comes either from goats or from sheep, and not a goat and a sheep. V'loy b'koi, Rashi says, this is a tayish and a tzivya, a goat and a deer, ele b'seh. You have to use a seh. So again, the same question. V'loy b'shchuta. You're telling me that you cannot use a shchuta. Why not? It should be good. If a seh refers even to a shchuta, why can't you use a shchuta? The more answer, shani also the all of seh semi pesach. I have exer shava seh seh from pesach. Just like by pesach, a shchuta is not considered anymore a seh. Who would then buy pigeon of a petach hamor? The Gemara asks the question, if you're learning this Gzeir Shava from Korban Pesach, so just like by Korban Pesach, a seh means a male who has no blemish, and he's 1 year old, the same thing over here. And we know that by Petach Hamor, you can use a seh that is more than 1 year old, or that is not tam, and is not a zocher. So the Gemara says, Talmud Loimer, tifta, tifta. It says a double lashon. You can redeem it. It says it twice. It's coming to Reba. It's coming to Mimar. But then even if it's not a Tam Ben Shana Azachar, it is good. The Gemara asks the question, E tifta, tifta, if you have a Ribui, Reba, Filikula, Tsunami. So then why don't you be Marba all of them? The Ritva says, obviously we're not going to be Marba an Egel or a Chaya, because those Bechlal have no Shaykhs to say. But a Shchuta or a Trefa or Klayim, these which are to a certain extent they are a seh, let's be marbid them as well. Afilakulanami im kain seh, or as the Rishonim say here, based on a Gemara in Bechayra, seh seh maya hanalei. So what did the Gzer Shav of seh seh accomplish? In other words, you cannot be marba everything. Something you have to be mamayit. So it makes sense to be mamayit. It makes sense to be mamayit. That it has to be alive, that it cannot be a shchuta. Now we turn to, we'll finish the sugya on daf nunamid aleph. Esvi Rav Yitzchak Nafka Rav Ami. Rav Yitzchak Nafka asked the question Rav Ami. I hold that par filo b'dami shel par, and you hold not, you hold par v'loy b'dami shel par. It says by Kohen Mashiach. Kohen Golu has to bring a par l'chatas for a halacha that he paskened b'shoigeg, for a chiyuv kares, that he was over b'shoigeg based on a faulty psak, he has to bring a par chatas. It says, v'hoitzi es kol par. And this is after the shechita, has to take out the whole par. So we see that it's called a par even after the shechita. The Gemara answers, sheyaitzi es kuloi. It says the word kol. So when you say kol, that's what it's coming to tell you, that you have to take out the whole thing. Really, a dam of the par will not be considered a par. But here it's telling you to everything that was from the original par, at the time that it was called a par, take everything out. Then the Gemara asks a different kasha. Vespar, chatzah, sorah, chatas, that, by Yom HaKippurim, after the matan dam, that you're taking out the par and the sor to burn them, and it calls it par, chatas, amra papa. That's not a question. Bor, ubasur perish to kuli amaloi pligi. There it's speaking that you take out the carcass, so the carcass has skin, meat, and intestines, so there everybody holds that it is considered a par. Ki pligi, bedam. We were talking about where he's only bringing inside to the Kodesh Kedoshim the dam, Mar Sover Dam, Ikri Par, Mar Sover Dam, Loi Ikri Par. Tosis points out here that the Gemara couldn't give the teretz of Kolapar, because, as it did in the second line of this Amud, because here it doesn't say Kolapar. So here it seems to be indicating that the par is referring to even after death. And the Gemara answers, yes, if the par means the carcass, then it includes even after death. But if the par is referring to dam, that's where we have the machlokes. Concludes the Gemara. Amar of Ashi, mistavar k'man di'amar dam ikri par. It's mistavar like the man di'amar says dam is ikri par. And as we said before, that's how the Rambam paskins, not like Rabbi Chanina. Dechsev, bezois yavi aron ala kodesh bepar ben poker. What should aron bring into the kodesh HaKadosh in par ben poker? The Gemara makes a sarcastic remark here. Otu bekarne ma'ayle. Is he bringing in the para with the par with its horns? He's only ela b'dami. He's only bringing in the dam. So v'korele par, you're calling it par. So you see clear that dam is called par. The idach, what is the other man d'yomer? What is Reb Chanina answer to this question? No, it doesn't mean that. It means b'meh hochshar Aaron love ela kodesh. With what can Aaron enter into the kodesh kedoshim? Only if first he has brought the par ben bakal chazes. Rashi says if he brings a live par and then does all the avoid is necessary to that par, then eventually he can go into the kodesh kedoshim. So we're not referring to when he brings the dumb of the par into the kodesh kedoshim. We're referring what does he need lechatchila to do the avoda on that live par so that eventually he'll be able to go in. But when he goes in with the dumb, that dumb is in fact not considered par.